Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. We're going to go ahead and replay that. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We'd like to hear your feedback. If you enjoy it, if not, let us know. And I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our complete presidential coverage continues. Dave Petzo joins us now at 580 KIDO, taking your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, as someone who talks about this and covers this, and like all of us, has a vested economic interest in this, so what do you think of the debate?
I thought he did shockingly well. I think in many ways it was disappointing that this wasn't who showed up at the first debate. I thought after the video came out that it was game over, done. There was really no point in even bothering with debates at this point. The match was over, and I thought he did extremely well. I really did. I was very impressed with his debate last night, and finally bringing up the points that everybody knows with 30 years of Hillary Clinton in politics. So I thought he did a very good job.
He hit her like everyone on talk radio has been talking about for years.
Yes.
You should be indicted. You bleached things. You did this. You did that. Everything that we wanted Bob Dole, mm-hmm. George Bush, John McCain, Mitt Romney.
Good point. Let
it all hang out. So, now, I would never say that you've been in this position, but you know people that have been in this position. When you have nothing to lose, sometimes you're at an advantage.
I certainly would agree with that, and I think you're right. He had nothing to lose last night. He has already lost. Now, the question is, is this going to be enough to come back?
Well, perceptually, he may have lost. The game's not over yet.
Correct.
You're saying he lost.
You'd
be firing up the phones for me for the next 2 hours if you would.
No, I think I saw something that it was disappointing to say the least, were some of the battleground states like Pennsylvania. Before this came out, he had slipped so badly since from the first debate in the polls there that she was very significantly ahead. And certainly the tape of his discussion wasn't helpful.
Dave Petzo with us here at 580 KIDO. So, I had a friend of mine, I won't say who, a young lady, come up to me and say, you know, Kevin, you can't tell me that guys haven't talked like that either 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And this was a young lady that said this. This wasn't my words. And you can't tell me that this is disqualifying. This is the biggest hubbub over nothing. Now, if you would say that or I would say that, we would be sexist and everything else.
Correct.
But from the watching the media's point of view, it's amazing to me that this is horrible. All the Republicans have condemned him. He needs to get out of the race. His VP is going to quit over something he said when the microphones were supposed to be turned off. And yet we have other folks that have done things, not just talked about things.
You know, Kevin, I think that you have a really good point. I'm sure that there's locker room chat in the ladies' locker rooms as well. Okay, that people,
sure,
you know, although we feel differently when we get, quote, sexually abused, you know, guys don't seem to have as anti a reaction to that. But it still is, it's something that happens, there's no question. And I've certainly said things in my past that I wish I hadn't said and that were not favorable.
Well, and let's not have. Well, would you like
that? Was
to,
a little over the top.
Would you like to just
fall on my sword? I think we'll let that go.
But at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, we've all had issues.
Right.
And he, you know, without sin, throw the first stone. But, you know, we have everybody condemning him. It's as if Somebody knew the fix was in.
Yep.
And, you know, this is what happens when you are not invited to the party and you take it over, literally, it seems.
Yeah, apparently. I'm very disappointed with the Republican Party. I think many people are. Obviously, we all are, both in how they've picked candidates in the past that are not able to run and win. But also this whole idea of who everybody's signing on that I'm going to be supportive of the presidential candidate, unless, of course, it's Donald Trump. I found that to be offensive. I'm no big fan of Donald Trump. I haven't historically, but he's
it's
the guy.
It's been well documented on this program.
That's right. But at the same time, I have to say this, too. We have a situation here where, obviously, Bill Clinton did a lot of things. But it's also a position of power. I always learned when I was younger that I thought that women's rights were really about men asking for things, sexual favors, when they're in a position of power, that that's what's wrong. And there's nothing more powerful than the president of the United States or the governor of a state. It's a very powerful position that you
talk about lapse in judgment. You have to be a big dope no matter who you are to do that in this day or any day.
Right. Exactly. But that doesn't seem to get people upset because it doesn't fit the narrative for the party that they're going to throw the guy under the bus that's supposed to be for women's rights, even though he obviously acted distinctly incorrectly.
Sure. Our great friend Dave Petzl with us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. This story is so fascinating. Let's go back to the tape for a minute. If this had been out there, shame on the people in the primaries for not covering this.
Yeah, Cruz brought that up. Yeah.
Right. You know, shame on this. For them for not getting this. And you have to wonder whether it was someone within the party that decided to do this, because the cascade of people saying, hey, we're done with him, he's horrific, blah, blah, blah. And,
right.
You know, it's fascinating. Our own Senator Crapo has been taking a lot of heat for this locally and across the way. So I'm trying to figure it out, you know, putting all these facts together here. What are your thoughts?
You know how I feel about Senator Crapo. I think he's a very, very strong senator, good leader, and serves on some of the most difficult, intricate committees back there, you know, between finance and banking.
He's a very smart guy.
He's a very smart guy.
He's no Dave Petzl, but he's up there.
And he's but I do feel like he jumped the gun on this and should not have come out the way he did. But it's his moral judgment, and I have to pass on it.
Let's delve into this, and this is the only radio show in the country that we could do this. Because here we can talk about God, we can talk about faith, and, you know, we have it's a faith-based community.
Mm-hmm.
So for our friends, that we have many, that disagree with the pick of Trump morally, and that are back on the never-Trump bandwagon, let's say Senator Crapo, Congressman Simpson and the other folks, how do we come to some consensus here where, you know, they believe that this is disqualifying? You're a moral guy. I'm a moral guy. What are we missing that they seem to be getting? Or is it the other way around, do you think?
My feeling is it's the other way around, but that shouldn't be surprising, because you and I personally, we all feel we're right in what our opinion is. But
I'm trying to think if I'm missing something from a moral point of view.
Totally. I totally get where you're coming from, because that's the reflection you have to say. Look, these are bright people. They're good people. And why are they feeling so strongly in the other direction? I completely get that. I don't know, Kevin. I feel like it's wrong, because as we look at this, you can make a moral judgment that what he did was wrong, and it was. And saying that those kinds of things is wrong. But it's not like we've never heard those things before. You hear
never heard them on cable television.
Correct. But what I think they did was jump the gun on this, because what you're really doing is now making a moral distinction that it's okay to be the most corrupt person ever to run for president. We are now saying, let's go ahead and go with Hillary because of this type of behavior.
But this is the same media that gives the president a pass on actual actions in the White House.
Correct.
And then you have Trump brilliantly bringing in all these women last night, and you have the media attacking him. These women have gone on record.
Yep.
Some of them have gone to court on this.
Mm-hmm.
And
settlements.
Right.
Yes.
So you take a look at these things and you think to yourself, okay, well, if it's bad for Trump, that it's bad for President Clinton. Well, he's not running, but his wife is.
Well, and she was certainly a person that attacked the very women that she's supposed to be, defending. I really love women, except if they go here, then I'm going to go ahead and destroy them. I'm going to personally annihilate them.
Right.
And that is not a person that stands up for women's rights. When we talk about moral issues
here. I love it that two guys here at 580KID are talking women's rights.
I know.
How far we've come.
And this is shared ignorance, man. We don't really know.
I'm glad you put that disclosure here at 580KIDO. However, it's fascinating, though, when you think about the you watch networks, Fox last night, Trump's going to win, MSNBC, Mike Pence is going to drop out. CNN, they've just got people screaming at each other.
Right. Right. No, it's a circus, and it felt like it was going to be over, but it is really, this was quite a bounce back, and as people, as you have reflected on this, Kevin, it is something that I have to say, after you first hear this, you go, oh my gosh, this is over. And then you hear it more, and you start thinking about this. This is just a couple of guys, perhaps, that are talking, and I'm not excusing it. I'm saying that this does not rise to the level that I first initially heard it in my mind. And I'm wondering if it doesn't fade a little bit.
Then why are the career politicians, does it go back to simply Trump beat them at their own game?
Yep.
A friend of mine said, he was talking about college football coaches, they like you, you get extra time if you're likable, if you work the building. If you're a blank, you're first to go.
Right.
When you don't win. Could it be simply a case of that these folks were looking for a reason? I mean, it's impossible to get rid of Donald Trump. I mean, people are early voting now. And my point here, and let me ask you this, is he that bad that we're going to throw the race and give it to Hillary Clinton, knowing at least two Supreme Court justices, if not three, will be appointed in her first term?
Yes. And beyond that, we are also have all of the litany, the endless list of corruption. The only person that has ever taken, she and her husband have taken a political position and turned it into hundreds of millions of dollars. It's unbelievable, the corruption. And this doesn't even touch on, I don't know why we don't talk about this more, but imagine what's going to happen out there with our, if you will, the world enemies. They already know all of her secrets from her server. What's going to happen if the President of the United States gets blackmailed for the next 4 years? It's just astounding to me.
We will answer that question next at 580KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580KIDO.
Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Petzo with us as we continue on. So last night it was interesting. They were talking about tax plans, and before that, there was a comment, a WikiLeaks, about Hillary Clinton saying what she's going to say in private then what she's going to say in public. And Donald Trump busted her on that, saying, you're no Abe Lincoln. But this idea of open borders, that possibly 600 million people would be allowed. Hillary Clinton dreams of open borders.
Yeah.
What does that mean to our economic future?
Well, you simply can't do that. It's absurd. I mean, that's fine. It's a Star Trek world, and I think that maybe some centuries from now we could do that. But I don't understand how you would ever do that. You have right now, as an example, you've got the European Union that is under constant stress for the last 10 years, and may fall apart because why? And you think about this. That would be like the state. Our state warring against Washington state, right? Because you're talking about, these are very, very small countries right next to each other, and they can't figure out what, I'm a German, and I'm, and they have their own feeling of national identity, let alone a country as vast as the United States, and thinking we have open borders to countries that are openly at war with us. It's crazy. It really is a crazy thought. And, of course, economically, it's not feasible at all. Every country has their own right to dictate to the conditions of doing business in their own country.
Except in this country where we seem to kind of throw everything out and allow, you go to Mexico, you have borders, you have laws here. It just seems to be thrown out, especially under this administration. What do you think of Trump last night talking about, well, your boy Warren Buffett?
Yeah.
Your boy Warren Buffett doesn't pay any taxes. What'd you make of that one?
I thought, again, that there's a very valid point that I think to be made. I, of course, really like Warren Buffett from an investment perspective, what is long-term perspective. I like him. I do not understand why he chose to start speaking up about the tax code. If he wants to send more money to Washington, D.C., he can. He chooses not to. He's never sent extra money. He says, I want to raise taxes on people like me. Well, he can do that. The IRS accepts checks. So you are able to do that, but he's never done anything like that. He continues to, in fact, operate his life and businesses in the most tax favorable way.
Well, at 580 KIDO with Dave Petzo, Kevin Miller here, what about Hillary Clinton's argument that it's your duty to pay taxes? She said that Trump didn't support the military, didn't do this. Now, look, I'm all about duty, honor, country, but when April rolls around, I'm not happy paying taxes. I don't know anyone who is.
No, and she didn't do her duty either. She didn't send extra money, if that's what she's saying. Everybody sends in and is only obligated to send in what they demand you send in. And to not take a tax deduction is absurd. Every human, the far leftist will take a tax write-off. It makes no sense, this argument at all. It is, in fact, so senseless that it's like they have nothing to talk about. Donald Trump wouldn't pay taxes because he had a huge and fully legally deductible loss, as any other human being. It's not a loophole. It's everybody knows that, right? If you go lose money in a business, you get tax deductions, and they can go for a long, long period of time. And that is just simple tax law. It's not a big deal. And when they make a big deal of things like this, it makes me wonder why people think that this is there's just nothing really, I guess, no substance to talk about.
And we move along. Dave Petzl with us here. So, Dave, we go into the campaign. Where do we go from here, do you think?
Well, I think that you're going to see Trump try to really – I would think he's going to try to really go up tempo this week. I mean, he's finally – this looks like he has a reset. Maybe he has a chance, but he's going to have to take this momentum fast and turn this race around. And I would not be surprised if we don't see some of the people that were on the fence – coming back to his camp. I hope so. I just don't know what's going to – I don't see this being positive for the Republican Party, this continued dissension in the party.
Okay, what about business-wise? What are we looking at this week?
What are we looking at this week? You know, Kevin, the market has been fine. It hasn't been particularly strong or particularly weak. It just kind of continues to bubble along. But we are heading into earnings season, not quite yet, but getting close. And so, I we're going to have more this in the month of October, if you will. It's going to be more company-specific type of news, like we saw last week with Micron announcing better-than-expected earnings or losses, if you will. But they did better than expected, and the market rewarded them. So companies one-off, I think, you're going to see more of that in the coming weeks. This week, I don't see anything in particular on the horizon economically.
Well, it's not good for Samsung. Apparently, they redid their newest Galaxy, and it's still catching fire.
I know. Can you imagine? I mean, this is the gift that keeps giving for Apple, isn't it?
And Samsung's a great company when we're talking technology, not only with phones, but washers, dryers, televisions, all
microchips. I mean, yeah. They're a big competitor to Micron too. So they are a huge company. But they are also a very, very strong competitor to Apple, and this certainly doesn't help them at all. It's a big gift for Apple, that's for sure.
Well, have you gotten your new iPhone yet? It's water resistant. So.
Well, I haven't, but I've upgraded to the new iOS 10, and I got to tell you, people sound different. That was the big thing. I didn't know why people sounded so clear, but they told me it was because of the upgrade.
I see. Well, glad to know that Apple's doing that. But we come back to some other news about business. So we've got earnings seasons going on. We've got Samsung possibly in a decline. Apple continues to roll. And speaking of Apple, a lot of Apple folks are excited about the possible new MacBook coming out, MacBook Pro. It hasn't been out redone in 4 or 5 years. They're talking about really making an up-to-date thing. You think laptops or Macs are still money makers?
Yeah, they are, but they're a minor part for Apple. It really is. For them, it's about two things. It's about the cell phone, but it's not. That's not the only thing. They have recurring revenue. This is what I think analysts miss a lot with Apple, is how much recurring revenue they have from their app store, right? From all the apps. And you and I have talked about this before. You always had to always buy your new DOS and upgrade, or, you know, Windows 1, 2, 3. You always had to buy the new one when it came along. Apple changed all that by doing the apps, and then they do upgrades, and they do them for free. And the app might be $10. It might be $5. It might be a buck on these. And so that has changed everything. But this recurring revenue, whether it's music and things like that, runs into the billions of dollars. It is a huge and growing revenue stream for Apple, and I think it helps revalue the company. Those are the two main things, Kevin, and all the other devices, if you will, computers and everything else, they're just too attached to that big ecosystem.
And speaking of Apple and Samsung, this week they go to the Supreme Court how much money Samsung owes Apple for alleged violation of design patents.
Exactly.
Big case.
It is a big case. And so you're right. This is a big case because I'm surprised it actually went this far to go to the Supreme Court. But it did, and it should be very interesting to see that see the decision on that.
Dave Petzo, we appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. And congratulations again on the great debate party. That's awesome.
Well, maybe you'll join us for the last one. You joined us for one of our first ones.
Well, I did.
At the end of the season.
I did. Well, I didn't think I could get in. So if you have a seat set there, maybe I will. Yeah.
Yes, that would be great.
I figured you guys had the place all packed out. So.
Dave Petzo, you'll say a few words, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome.
All right.
All right.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready, waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
So, on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yes, we are live and would love to hear from you. So please do give us a call. We'd love to try to answer any questions you have, comments you want to make. Shoot them over. Give us a call. And if you do prefer email, that's fine. That's dave@petzofinancial.net. Next week, Tom Brown and Jennifer Stone are going to be in, and continuing their walk with people who are, you remember the last time they did it, they kind of started down this road of people who maybe get on the right track and how their life evolves, works out, and those that maybe don't get on the right track and what kind of excuses or things come up for them and how difficult that route can be. But anyway, they had great feedback. I thought it was great, but great feedback from it last time. So they're going to continue that walk next week. So be sure to join us next week. But right now, do get on the phones. Get on the phones now and also email. I wanted to talk about this comment I hear a lot. I mean, a ton. So if you happen to make this comment to me yesterday, don't think I'm picking on you. Nor if you happen to make it a month ago, 21 days, 28, 19, 18, because I get it every day. And it revolves around this type of question. What's going to happen with the election, right? But, you know, the real answer, of course, can I just set this aside? We don't know, right? We don't know. At this point, you can say Hillary's probably going to be elected. You can probably say that. It's not certain, but it's probable at this point. And what does that mean to the market? Don't know. Don't know. People have positioned for that. Don't know what it means. Except it usually, almost always, means far less than people think. So the bottom line with elections is it's a big momentous thing that everybody breathes real heavy about and is over really quickly. And nothing happens. Now, there are sectors that get hurt. You know, whether it's health care, because one candidate or another particularly looks like they're going to try to tamp down drug prices, do some price controls. Maybe it's energy. You got a greenie or a, you know, drill like crazy guy in there. Obviously, I'm talking extremes, but these are sectors that can definitely be having a pro and con, if you will, a positive and negative reaction. But the overall market, winners and losers, no. It just doesn't happen. But it makes for great theater heading into it. Now, that's the bottom line. But here's what that has led to. I think the market's going to crash. I think the market's going to soar. I think the market's going to do this under a certain candidate. And, of course, this comes from, almost always, people that don't know anything about the markets, or little about the markets. And it's also completely misleading to what we should be thinking about with our own portfolios. We go all the time and look for some kind of a date, a thing that we can hang our hat on. There it is, right there. That's where the market's going to tank. That's where the market's going to soar. That's where the market's going to have trouble over here. Like, nobody else sees that day. Only you. Again, you think I'm making fun. I'm not. The point here is this. Back to what I say all the time. What you know isn't worth knowing. What I know isn't worth knowing. It's priced in. It's already there. People are already positioned for that. That's what we've got to understand. And we can't because we think we're smart. We do this all of the time. I think the market's going to crash after the election. Based on what? What? Why? You see, we say these things all the time. And if you ask why, it'd be like, well, uncertainty. It's the first word that grabs in your head. Uncertainty. Okay. What else? Tax increases or I don't know. I don't know. It's just going to crash. When we do that, here's why it's important. It's not just silliness. When we do that, it impacts our thinking about our investments in a totally wrong way. We think of them as short term. Again, in a world that drives you to short term, you play along. We have to stop that. We really do. You have to stop the mental predictions. What's going to happen next week? I'll tell you, when we get to earnings season, here's what's going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. But we don't learn. It's not that we're saying, oh, I've got a chunk of money I want to put in the market, and so when should I? We should normally when we get the money. But I understand if markets are at all-time highs. If there's a ton of uncertainty, you know, on the immediate horizon, you can dollar cost average it in. I don't think that's foolish. But, you know, to sell things or to think you should or wonder about it, all you're doing is setting yourself up for a lot of angst. Just a whole lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, I knew I shoulda, what, sold out? Like the 20 times before you thought that and didn't, thank goodness? You just don't remember the 20 times, do you? Because it's not extraordinary to be wrong. It is, in fact, extraordinary to be right. So you're just wrong. Market didn't crash, tank, soar, do whatever it is you predicted it would do. You just kind of shrug your shoulders and move on. But, oh, when it does what you thought it would do, whew, polish up the pencils, buddy. We are going to be stock trader genius. Watch me go. It's really true. Because we have such a bias to our own abilities. Now, that's not a lack of humility. It's a human nature question. It's something we all have to deal with. We tend to think we're smarter. We tend to think we're right more often than not. You know, the two examples I'd like to give in this regard are the average driver. How many people do you think they're better than average? It's not near 50. It's about 78%. 78% of the people think they're better than average drivers. Even better when you talk about bright people like college professors. They would be, you know, very, very capable of self-analysis. They're smart. And so how many college professors do you think think that they're better than average? You know, probably closer to 50% than, say, drivers. 92% think they're better than the average college professor. We all fall prey to that. We all do. So it's kind of funny, right? You know, college professors, funny. You know, they couldn't possibly run a business or anything. It's all academic to them. We all know those stories. Yeah, make fun. It's us. It's human nature. It's what we do. And when we do that and we start playing around with stupid predictions, and they are stupid, sorry. I know, we can case it all in all these things, but it's just dumb. Because all we're doing is setting ourselves up for failure. And we don't recognize it. And we give ourselves all of these issues that make it harder for us to invest appropriately. Buy great companies. And you don't trade them around elections or things. Y2Ks. Oh, there's the date on the calendar. That's the day the market crashes. Put a circle around it. That's not what happens. Was that funny commercial, right? That's not how it works. It just doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. It's not. And we have to pull away from that. And so as we get to moments like this, I know a lot of it's just jibber-jabber, chatter, you know. Hey, financial guy, jibber-jabber. But some of it is really, truly dangerous because people do think, and they've been reading a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of fear. There's so much fear out there. So everything you read is not like, you know, after the election, it's going to be good. It's all good. It's all good. We have all Hillary all the time. It's all good. The economy is going to improve, mend itself. No, it's not. But we'll go. We'll cruise along. We will. Donald Trump's going to, whatever, start a trade war, whatever, all those things, all negative all the time. All the time. Never hear the positive. You don't. That's the problem, isn't it? The fear. The fear. All right. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, Jim, we got you up to bat. Want to give time for it. And we hopefully have you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petso. on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. Good.
Yeah, don't use a baseball analogy. I'm up to bat, or I might strike out. But I'm pulling for the Dodgers over the Cubs and the Blue Jays over the Indians.
Man, you sound, you know what that, what does that sound like? Rush Limbaugh used to do that. He'd match him up. He'd say on some political correctness scale he did, like, you know, when he first started.
Indians.
Yes.
Okay, the Cleveland Native Americans.
There you go. That's much, much, much more politically correct. I can't believe you're going for the, you're not going for the Cubs. I understand, now I don't know if it's true or not. They're going to let Billy Goats in today?
I don't know. You know, it's,
like the curse of the Cubs from the Billy Goats or something. And so to try to break it, everybody can come in with their Billy Goat.
Maybe it's the Cubs' year. I mean, it should be, I guess. But I'm not a Cubs fan. I kind of like the Giants, but they're gone. But
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I saw an interesting article on Yahoo Finance as I was reviewing my vast, economic or financial empire.
Yes.
Anyway, something to the point of Yellen and the Fed and the economists are confounded as to how the, you know, with all their models and all this stuff over the millennia of economics, how the economy is so slowly recovering from the so-called Great Recession via unemployment, inflation, you know. Apparently how the economy is acting is confounding them.
It is confounding them. There's no doubt about that. They've got mixed signals. We also have the problem with raising rates. We now have the dollar beginning to show signs of strengthening again right at the time when the Fed wants to raise rates. Well, where, if you are anywhere in the world and you are agnostic, you're just like, I am simply going to put my money where I think it's going to be treated the best, meaning the strongest currency would be the United States, and also a country that was raising interest rates because their economy was on solid holding. Now, you wouldn't say, wow, I think I'm going to stick to the negative interest rates that I'm getting. That's why, and so money flows to that country, further strengthening the currency. So they have a tough battle here because they dug themselves a $4 trillion hole. They've got to get that money back out. But it's going to take a long, long time, and every time they turn around and don't raise interest rates, we push back further the time scale, and I think intensify the problem. So
yeah, apparently the interest rates are their ammunition. You know, they've got to raise it some so they can lower it whenever they need to.
Well, they think it's their ammunition, but it really has been ineffective. Do we have a booming economy with the lowest interest rates of your life? The answer is no. Is it working over in Europe with negative interest rates? No.
You know, what's weird is it seems to me the economy is kind of simple. I mean, it seems to, on the surface, you know, you have productivity, you have employees, but apparently it's extremely complicated. And, well, maybe technology is throwing a wrench into all of their models of the past as to how things are supposed to work.
Well, yes and no. It always has, though. I mean, we're not talking about a new thing when everybody left the farm because you had farm equipment and you had everybody move into the cities. It's not a new thing when the automobile comes around and disrupts buggy whips and the electric grid
disrupts
candlestick makers. I mean,
we're getting into what we've discussed before, the industrial revolution versus the technological revolution.
Correct, but that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah,
that's not
there's a difference, though.
Well, there is, because we don't need as many people because the productivity of robotics and things like that. There's no question that machines can do much more. The classic example I think about, because I actually saw this, you know, Jetsons type of facility, was the Simplot plant out in Caldwell. One plant does more than three plants. They have 300 employees instead of 1,003 plants, and they do more potatoes, process them there. That's the fundamental problem that you're talking about, Jim. But and that is accelerating. I agree. But we also have people manufacturing smartphones and things like that that we never did before. So it does. We've always had it balanced out before. So I'm not sure it's broken the models because of that. It feels to me like we can't get the economy going because we have regulated and taxed ourselves to death.
Maybe so. But, well, you know, it's like even technology. They see technology, so it seems like they should be able to put the effect of technology into their models, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, that would answer the question or whatever.
Right, exactly. So I don't think that you're right. I think they've done that and tried to do that, understanding unemployment a little bit better. But the reality is when you have Obamacare imploding, and it is, the costs are absolutely skyrocketing. It's not just a bunch of right-wingers in Idaho that think that. It's a fact of life. You have that imploding. What are employers going to do with 20, 30% increases? What do individuals do? They have to cut back somewhere else. We have to have fewer employees. What if we want to try to get away without having to cover those employees? Then we don't hire as many people. We have more part-timers. The list goes on and on as to why the regulation and the, quotes, unintended consequences of the elite, smarter-than-everybody-else people that run these programs and have never operated a Kool-Aid stand in their entire life can tell us what is going to work and what's not going to work, and then taxing people at a 50% tax rate, and I do not kid you, and talking about how we have to raise those taxes, that to me is a fundamental problem that we're facing right now is regulation and taxation. And then we sit around and say, well, I don't know if the Fed's doing the right thing or we ought to turn interest rates into negative. You cannot change an economy that is bound by higher costs and higher taxes and more regulation.
Well,
you just can't get it to lift no matter what you do.
Speaking of Obamacare, how much do you think that's affecting the average voter? And also,
I do. Final word, 5 seconds, go.
Okay, how about, you know, the get rid of it versus the it's okay, we just need to tweak it.
True. Well, that's coming up. All right, we got to go, Jim. Thanks for your call. Talk to you in the second hour.
Bye-bye.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions only. It's not this station. It's not a broker-dealer. It's their opinions. They're mine. I like to think they're well thought out. I like to think that we spend a lot of time and work hard at trying to give good information. But that's what it is, and we're trying to kind of learn together. It's not a prediction on what the market's going to do. You know, I'm going to talk in a minute here about, you know, how we can be cast as a perma-bear or perma-bull and all those things. And, you know, oh, you're talking your book. You're talking about the market in a positive way. Okay. I suppose. But it's not, in our world, it doesn't matter what you own. It's, we manage money and we collect a fee, and it doesn't matter what you own. The single greatest wealth creator for the average person, nothing is close, is the stock market. Nothing is close. Nothing could be easier. $50 a month you're allowed to invest. $50 a month. Oh, it's a game for just the wealthy, you know. I mean, it's only for the wealthy. No, it is not for the wealthy. It's for you to become wealthy. Nothing comes close to this. Do you think you can own an office tower in Manhattan? No, you can't. You don't have billions of dollars. But you can own a company, a piece of a company that owns property all over, worth billions of dollars. Where can you do this? You can do it by owning stocks. But that's not how we treat it. No, 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 no. We got to buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. We need to know what a condor option spread is, or we don't know anything. We need to know what currencies are doing, or you're just stupid. We got to know what's going to happen with the election. Right after the election, the market's going to, you know, because I read this thing over here and what currency fluctuations are going to do. Man, I am well read and I know what's going on. No, you don't. That's the noise. The noise. You know, I've been talking about this a lot lately. And don't worry, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to do something very simple in our education segment. I'm going to talk about what is a stock. But we get caught up in this stuff. This is so important to this point. What is a stock? What is it? We get caught up constantly in all of this noise to the point where we take a simple, productive, better than anything else, path to prosperity. And we do everything we can to get off the track. Everything we possibly can. We do. Nobody would stop and say, I'm intentionally reading bad information so I can make bad decisions. That's what I'm intentionally doing. I'm intentionally spending my time immersed in bad information so I can make bad decisions. Who would say that? But oh, do we do that? So often. So I think sometimes as we are looking at all this stuff and we're hearing all the noise, and yeah, it's one thing to say, dial it down, don't listen. But if you're only going to read headlines, don't even start. If you're only going to read one side about how the world is ending or the currency's changing or the you need to get our newsletter so we can, you know, navigate through the impending doom of some kind. If that's what you read, you're just filling your head with noise. You are actively getting bad information so you can make bad decisions. That's what you're doing. Oh my gosh, nobody would do that. So what is a stock? I mean, really, think about this. What is a stock? Okay, the definition is it's a piece of ownership in a business. Okay, great. That's great. What does that mean? But think about this bigger, not just defining what it is. Think about what it is. I own a business. Let's pretend. So what you should do is break this down and say, I own the whole business. I own the whole thing. And you say, I own 1/1,000,000th of a percent. So who cares? It doesn't change. It's not a piece of paper. It's not a trading instrument. It is a piece of a business. And we have to rethink it. In a world that tells you you should buy and sell, and you should panic about this and worry about this and wonder about this and look about the next market crash is about to happen. When? 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, now? And what does a crash mean? I mean, what do we find? Is that a 10% move down? Because that would be normal. Once a year, normal. It's what happens. But I don't want to go through it. Okay. Then don't play. Leave the very best investment to wealth and don't do it. What you want to do is you want to put your money in the bank and earn zero. I'm sorry, it's not even zero, it's negative interest rates. So make a definite opinion. Here's what I want to do. I want to never become financially independent. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. I don't ever want to be financially independent. But if you play, you got to stay. There's only two things you have to do. You have to start. What's the second one? Right? You have to finish. You have to finish. And all of the noise about what stocks are and buy, buy, buy helps you to not finish. It drives you from the finish line. A stock is a piece of a business. If you own a building and it generates cash flow, or you own a piece of a building and you get a check every month or every quarter for your ownership of the building, net of the cost to operate that building, and it seems to, over the years, just keep going higher. Should you rush around and you know, find out what that building is worth every day? You know, have it appraised? You know I got my check, but I don't know. Is it up or down in value? Wouldn't you just say to somebody like that, shut up? What's the matter with you? If you had a cow and you're milking your cows and they're paying you for the milk, do you think we should rush and find out what the cow is worth every day? I got to hurry up and finish milking because I need to look up the prices of cows. Do you think that if somebody's acting like that, we should, like the old Aquavelva commercials? Shh, thanks. I needed that. Don't you think that we would try to help this person a little bit? Because they're being foolish? I mean, you can come up with any analogy you want. I'm receiving income from my business. I'm enjoying my business. Who would price the business every day? Who cares? You see, if we break it down, we say, you know, do I think Johnson & Johnson is going to sell some Band-Aids this year? Yeah, probably all over the world. So, you know, some more medical supplies? Mm-hmm. Maybe a few drugs? Mm-hmm. Do I think for the 43rd year in a row they're going to raise their dividend? Mm-hmm. Am I happy with a 3% rising dividend in today's world? Mm-hmm. But I need to know what the price did today. Really? Do we? Does that lead us closer to thinking in terms of I've got to finish the race? What is a stock? It's an ownership of a business. Period. Period. Isn't it possible to pull back away and say, I want to own a piece of the great corporations of the world and hold on? Is that a strategy that works? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Has it worked, like, all the time? Mm-hmm. No, come on. I mean, all the time. I'm not talking about like most of the time. I mean, all the time. Yes, it has. You mean like even in like, come on, 2000, it didn't work, couldn't work. Yeah, it worked. It worked beautifully. Better than anything else. Shouldn't I be looking into some like some hedges, you know, some hedges and stuff like that, you know, on the portfolio? Like people talk about options and, you know, puts and stuff like that. I mean, shouldn't I like be looking into that? You know, like doing a long short thingy? Why? Insurance is expensive. You throw away most all of your gains. But, you know, I've been reading about fill in the blank. I'm wondering about the new currency. What about the election? What about the Fed? Yeah? What about Europe imploding? What about the fiscal cliff? What about the government shutdown? What about Brexit? Grexit? What about the municipal bond crisis? On and on and on. Go back in history. The debt bubble. It just, it's, there's always stuff to worry about, short-term stuff. But regardless, during all of those crises, did Johnson & Johnson sell more Band-Aids and drug supplies and stuff? Yeah. Did they raise their dividend? Yeah. Did your building generate more income? Mm-hmm. Did your cow generate milk? Mm-hmm. If we're not going to run around and fuss about a business we own, if we're not going to run around and fuss about the price of a building we own or own a part of, if we're not going to fuss about the price of the cow when we're milking it or selling the calves, tell me why I want to immerse myself day to day in trying to figure out not what a stock is. Simple, defined, a piece of a business, which you are now entitled to a piece of the cash flow, a piece of the cash flow that represents what comes to you would be the dividends. A piece of the equity as it grows in a stock that maybe doesn't pay a lot of dividends. Or both. You get both. Why do we fuss about this endlessly? You know why? Because fear sells. Buying and owning the great corporations of the world for long periods of time just doesn't fit the, you know, you need to go buy an equity indexed annuity because the world is ending. It just doesn't fit that agenda, does it? It doesn't fit the agenda of the fear mongers. You don't want to play in, you know, the Wall Street casino. Actually, I do. Because you see, the Wall Street casino is actually, by owning the great corporations of the world, I am the casino. The odds are in my favor. And in the long run, I never lose, do I? In the short run, we lose often. In the long run, the odds are in our favor, and we win. As long as we're diversified, because there are winners and losers. What is a stock? It's ownership in a business. And when we don't understand the basics, just the very raw basics. And if this hasn't been for you and, oh, wow, I'm not thinking of this right. Moment. I think you need to rethink. Nobody fusses about the value of their business day to day. The value of their cows or the value of their building. Only have we manufactured a way to keep ourselves from doing one of the two important things. The only two things you have to do, the only two things you have to do to be successful. You must start putting money away. You can't be a dipwad and throw all your money away and not be smart. It's just, oh, you know, whatever. I'm going to go buy a $5 cup of coffee even though I don't have the money. I'm going to go hang with my pals at the bar instead of hanging out at home and watching the game. I'm going to buy all the new technology instead of, I got 99% of what I need. But I'm going to put money away. You have to start. I get that. It's really important. But what we seem to forget is you have to finish. And all of this noise and all of this contemplation, what I should be there, this all leads us off track. Should I be worried about what's going on with Brexit, the election? Should I be? No. No. You have to finish. That's all. But nobody would think anything except this. With anything else except stocks. How we turn this into some kind of a casino game and sell fear products based on that is absurd. Here's what I promise. Absolutely promise. Guarantee will happen. We will have corrections, whatever you want to call it. Is that 10%? We'll have bear markets. Is that 20% arbitrary number? I don't know. But here's what I absolutely promise. You don't know when it's going to happen. And when it happens, you're not going to like it. And you should. Because it gives us a chance to buy the great corporations of the world at a discount. It increases your income now and forevermore because you get more shares for the same dollar. We want to do that with everything in our life, but not stocks. Because we put it in this weird place that it's not. It's ownership of a business, period. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Please do give us a call. Let's light them up. Come on. There's nobody on the lines. Let's do it. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Please do ring us up. We've got plenty of lines available. Love to hear from you on Bronco Saturday. Big game. Homecoming, I guess. And also, if you prefer, email dave at petsofinancial.net. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave, can you hear me?
I sure can. Thanks.
Hey, Dave, I was calling. I just recently started purchasing stocks this year, and I bought some Amazon, Wells Fargo, and Idaho Power. And I also bought some mutual funds with S&P 500. So I want to know, should I buy more stocks? Do I invest more in mutual funds? I'm very novice to it, but I am definitely thinking long-term for family and my financial well-being.
Okay. When you pick stocks, it's a great, great question. First of all, for diversification, mutual funds, okay, or ETFs, whichever you prefer. And we can get into whether you want passive investments, S&P, or you should have active. We talk about that all the time, and I'll save that for another time. We'll circle back to that another time.
Okay.
So I think both give you diversification, and arguing about that is missing the point, and that is you want diversification with a portfolio.
Okay.
Now, I don't have a problem because I think it's a great teaching thing for you to kind of dig in and pick a few stocks, okay? I have no problem with that. If you really enjoy it, but here's the problem. You're not going to be very good at it, all right?
Right.
And so don't do that with serious money. And don't do it if you don't love it because it takes a lot of time. And to think you're any good at it because you spend 2 seconds at it, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not. It's again back to that 10,000-hour rule. You develop expertise in something. You are an expert. You are a professional at 10,000 hours of practicing the fiddle or whatever it is. Right? It's the same thing here. And so you get on and what you're watching, you have to know enough to know that what I'm watching, I'm not even learning. So this hour I've spent watching somebody prance around and talking about what to buy and sell is a waste of time. That's not an hour towards my 10,000. It's zero time. And so you don't know enough yet. So you really have to dig in and say, what I want to do is I want to read books by, Warren Buffett, John Templeton, anything here, and Peter Lynch. And if you don't love reading that stuff, then you just say, hey, I'm going to learn enough about investing to build a portfolio. Diversified portfolio, and I'm going to have mutual funds do that. So the core always is mutual funds to start, and then you can play around on the outside if you have fun with it, Scott.
Okay.
Because if you're not having fun, you're going to shortchange it. You're not going to spend the time, right?
And that's what I don't want to have. I don't want to just start throwing money around at, when I don't really understand, how stocks exactly work or what's a great stock, what's a good stock. But I did have fun, earlier this year when I opened up my Charles Schwab account and I got on there and played with some money. And, I feel like I'm starting a decent portfolio. And I want to continue to invest, a certain percentage of my income each month into you know, mutual funds or the stock market. So, Dave, I appreciate your time. And, yeah, I guess I need to do some more research.
You do, and it's okay. And I think it's great you're learning and growing, and you really hit the key. I don't care if you buy individual stocks or you buy mutual funds, and I don't care if they're active or they're passive. If you put money away every month, you win. As long as you finish, just finish.
Okay.
Don't let them scare you out. Don't read that crap. That's what it is.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm just saying it. I'm just trying to say it so it's plain as it can possibly be.
No,
everybody's trying to separate you from your money, and fear does that the best. Fear is the greatest motivator, and it will push you the wrong directions. Be careful what you're reading, and you'll do great.
Okay. All right. Well, Dave, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you calling.
Have
a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. Hey, the board is empty. That's a call to action. A call to action right now. So everybody give us a call. We've got to take a break for Fox News. If you prefer, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, seriously, nobody on the phones? Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's got to be something to talk about on this kind of gloomy Saturday. Everybody's kind of hunkered down, question or two. You know, one of the things, and of course it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So please hang on. I see we've got a couple of callers. But I want to mention this real quick while we're getting the callers up and ready. You know, as we talk about the market, and we talk about it in a way that is, well, are we going to be able to survive X or Y or Z? And the answer is, when corporations have the kind of cash flow that they do, and we are thinking about it as buying a piece of a business, and those cash flows are at record high levels, record amounts of corporate cash on the balance sheet, that's powerful. That's powerful. Very, very powerful. Let's go to Kelly. Kelly in Boise, thank you for ringing us up. Kelly, go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I am a customer at your office.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. I just wanted to share to maybe encourage some other parents to help their young adults get started. I just recently sent my college graduate daughter in to meet with Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Isn't she awesome? She's amazing.
Yeah. And my daughter was able to pay off her student loan in just a wee bit more than 2 years. And we all worked hard to support her in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's working her way up the ladder, as you will, after being a new grad. And so rather than charging her rent, but helping her be accountable for her finances, we had her come in and meet Jennifer and set up a Roth.
Right.
And put her rent in a Roth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember her talking about this, actually. Yes.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You're not just focusing only on paying off the debt, but getting started in both, you know, both levels. So that's great.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share that to, again, encourage other parents to teach their children about finances and maybe helping their young adult get started.
Absolutely. And, Kelly, I think it's critical. This is not just saying this to, you know, put down education and all that stuff. There is nothing taught about finance in school or in college. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is up to the parents. Good, bad, ugly.
Yeah.
What you do and what your finances are and what you pass on to your kids is the habits that they have.
That's one of our successes mm-hmm. is back when you used to pay all your bills by check,
mm-hmm.
For 3 months, I had her sit down and pay the bills and put them in the checkbook and do the math.
Mm.
So that she would have the opportunity to see what it took to run a house.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. It didn't just magically happen. You would see it and pay the bill. That's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Where'd you get that, Kelly? That's good.
Well, I tried to be an intentional parent, but we're also, you know, we've been fortunate and followed the Dave Ramsey program to a certain degree to help get us jump started. And so on a similar note with my son who joined the military, and when he gets out and has GI Bill, he doesn't really need a lot of college money. So we together had him come in and meet with Jennifer and before he left and set up a Roth with some of his own money that he'd earned, but also his college money, thinking that he wouldn't really need it. And so he was 19 at that time.
Fantastic. That's great. Yep, you can't. You start early and you stick with it, as I like to say. All you have to do is finish. They're going to do very well. There's no question.
Yeah.
No question, Kelly.
Thank you for your show.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye bye. And let's go ahead and go over to Jack. Jack, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. Hey, about 13 weeks now ago, I just had a baby girl.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. And my first girl, and I'm kind of nervous about it, but and then I have a 12-year-old boy too, and I'm kind of torn because everybody keeps saying you gotta get something for your daughter and your son that has compounding interest on it, and I'm like, what is that? I don't know, because I don't know much about stocks at all.
Right. Well,
so what would you advise for?
Hey, you got to start a 529 for those kiddos, okay? That's the easiest one because you get a tax break. It builds up tax-free as long as it's used for education. And you really do need to invest the money. You don't put it into – there is no compounding at a bank because you don't earn any interest. But there is compounding in stocks and dividends. And here's the thing. They're going to go bump in the night. So, Jack, you just have to start. You got to start. Put $100, $200, whatever you can afford, and start. You say, I can't do $200, then how's $150? Can't do that, then make it $125. Whatever the number is, start. And then you add to the start number by whatever, you know, you get a little raise, you pay off a bill. You focus like a laser beam on getting that money going in monthly. It hardly matters what it goes into. It matters more that you start. But put it in the 529, because if you're talking about education for the kids, and I assume that's where you were leading.
Well, I don't want it to be education. I also want it to be so that they don't have to work as hard as I did for their future. I mean, I've got a 13-week-old. If I find something that's compounding interest, by the time she's ready to retire, that could be a pretty big number.
It can be, and it will be, Jack. One of the things that you need to focus on, though, too, is you need to make sure that your retirement's okay. Do you have enough for your retirement?
I have a 401k with my company that is decent. I've been with my company for almost 20 years. So, and then I've got a couple of rental properties, and I've got other stuff that also is bringing cash flow.
Okay.
So. And of course, the kids are going to get, my wife and the kids, if something happens to me, they're going to get the rental properties and then that kind of thing. But, and then I've got a business too, a small business. So I've got a career, a business, rental properties, and now I'm trying to figure out stocks. How do I go about, who do I talk to or whatever to get a 529? I don't even know what that is.
That's okay. 529, you want to go to you do it with the state, okay, right online. You can go to idaho.gov, or idaho.gov, I think is what it is, and look for IDEAL, I-D-E-A-L, I-D-E-A-L. It's the state 529. That's where the only place you can get a tax deduction, and you do have to do it yourself. And then you can put it in there. It's real easy to do. Even I could do it and did it. So you can handle it. I started one for my grandbaby, so there you go. It's just one of those things that's pretty straightforward. I will tell you this also with my own kids, my adult children who work, I put money into a Roth for them because of that same compounding principle you're talking about. Okay? So that's kind of, I understand what you're saying, but you got to make sure you're taken care of too. Save for yourself, compound later. You cannot do a Roth IRA for a child. That doesn't work. You have to have earned income first. So I'll answer that question right now. I can hear people saying, why don't I do a Roth? You can't until they have a job. As soon as they do, I would swing that money to a Roth. Okay?
Okay. And then what company would you recommend, or is there anybody you'd recommend so I can start a portfolio. I hear people talking on your show about how they're building their portfolios, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm kind of behind the game. Am I supposed to be doing this? I've been focusing everything on real estate and business. I haven't been focusing anything on building a stock portfolio at all.
Well, this obviously is going to sound self-serving, Jack, but that's what we do here at Petso Financial and have for 35 years. So you're welcome to give us a call, and you can also, there's other advisors in town that you can certainly look up and do some research on.
Okay.
Okay.
And for that kind of thing, do you have to have like $100,000 to start? Or?
We will start ours, and I know other people are different. Some may require $500,000 or $1 million. We do not. Anybody that wants to start. We made a commitment 30 years ago that we were going to allow or to help people that wanted to start, even if it's $50.
Oh, nice. And what is your phone number? Can you give it out over there?
You can go to petsofinancial.com. That's probably the easiest thing to do. Petso Financial, P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce, P-E-T-S-O.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I'm just going to, Don, come on, hang on, please. Don't drop. I know you've waited forever, but I have to do at least one break before we're done here today, and I got to put it in. So, Don, you hang on. You're up to bat next. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KITO is our number. Let's go to a very patient caller. Don, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I have a fairly new business that gotten a start off the last year, but it's several years old. It's a debt-free business, and I am struggling making that separation between budgeting and separating my business life from my personal life now that I am now writing myself my own checks.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, how do you process that? How do you tear those walls down and build new walls and reinvent yourself to budget correctly?
Yeah, that is a great question, and it applies in so many things. And I'll just give you the most broad example I can. This has gone on for years, where people kind of have, if you will, a gentleman farm, right, where you have a farm out there, and then you have a job because the farm won't support itself.
Correct.
So oftentimes, you know, that's fine, but you're not farming. That's a hobby, right? It's a hobby,
right,
if you're spending money on it instead of,
right,
making money on it. So we have to. You definitely have to have a separation, which if the farm, for example, you wouldn't go buy a farm that was not supporting itself. And so, but we are willing to have a job that supports something else. And so separate the two. You need to have a separate checkbook, and you simply have to fund the business on its own. You don't write checks to yourself out of the business other than a paycheck. You write yourself a paycheck. But you can't be paying things out of your personal to a business, and then you need to have a separation, and it makes it easier if you do, for obviously for tax reasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly to what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is we need to really understand what our profit and losses are on this business, what is it really generating, and therefore, should I continue doing it, or should I expand it, should I contract it, and then you focus like a laser beam, because that is what you are focused on, not your personal items. Those are two separate items.
Right. That makes sense. So do you hear or see or feel that people who are, I guess, between 30 and 40 years old, we're now used to this electronic age where we deal with everything for our banking online, and we don't carry a checkbook anymore. Do you think that we business owners then should be relatively going back to a checkbook when they're wearing multiple hats?
I think you can if you need to. I mean, it's okay. You can be in that electronic world. My concern always is that when you go and pay for something, when people pay for cash, it seems more real. Why do you think casinos use chips? It's not real. You buy a stack of these green or red or whatever color things. It's just a stack of things. I mean, Who walks around and then slapping money down like that? It's just it's because it changed the dynamic of what it is you're doing. And so my concern is also when you swipe the credit card, would you have spent as much at Costco if you would have had cash? Would you spend as much everywhere with cash as you do when you just swipe it and it's okay and we'll deal with it at the end of the month? That is the concern, and you need to be thinking about that budgeting-wise day to day. But the way you actually pay for it or separate it out, it can be easier by using a checkbook because there is a removal of that swipe routine, and I'll deal with it later because at least you're writing down what you're spending. So that can help people budget, but the reality is it doesn't matter as long as they're separate accounts, in my mind. That way you can fully and honestly analyze what you should be doing in your business, okay?
Okay.
Good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Don. Have a good day now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's run quickly to Tom in Dallas, Texas. Really, Tom? All the way from Dallas.
How are you doing?
Good.
Got a question. I've got a sister that recently got married, quit her job, and moved out of state to be with her husband. She had a small 401k at her previous employer, and called me to ask me what I thought she wanted to do, so I thought I'd call somebody much smarter than me.
I don't know about much smarter than you, Tom, but here's the deal. First of all, I don't like little bits and pieces left around out there. So it's a little 401k. I believe you referenced it as a small one, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Roll it over. Put it in an IRA because at least you're put it in the with the other assets so you can keep an eye on it and know what you're doing. So just do a tax-free rollover to an IRA, and that's fairly easy to do. If she's not comfortable doing it herself, an advisor can help her do it. And just get it rolled over so it's cared for instead of just sitting out there like this forgotten piece of property that that often happens with investments when people don't have it under management.
Okay, with her IRA, any recommendations on what to do, who to go with?
Well, you know, as far as that goes, Tom, you go with somebody you're comfortable with. I don't want to sit here and pound the table about us. It's just that you want to have somebody that's going to be taking care of it, and she doesn't have to worry about it. I don't know if she has a relationship with another advisor. That advisor, if she does, then that can be taken care of. But part of it is not just rolling this piece. It's understanding the overall finances. What else is she doing? What else is her husband doing? And so that it is relatively, it fits with the rest of what they are doing. So it's not just this one piece that we want to do it. You want to look at the whole picture.
I appreciate the excellent information. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom, you have a great day. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number, never mind. Forget our number. We're just about out of here. Listen, if you have any comments, questions, fire them over to petsofinancial.com, P-E-T-S-O, financial.com. I hope everybody has a great weekend. And go Broncos, of course, but they should destroy these guys. Have a great homecoming weekend. We'll talk to you later.